Unfortunately, Caleb wasn't the only person Gorgia had to worry about. In fact, if Caleb had been his only concern, he'd have been considerably happier. But despite his very best efforts, the group of four seemed to feel he'd proved just a tad inept as a traitor, scoundrel, and general all-around backstabber. And to be honest, Gorgia couldn't really disagree. He'd tried, he really had, yet someone in his court had leaked the Knights of the Temple Lands' plans to Harald, thus neatly undoing all of his own efforts in that direction. He still didn't know who'd done that, and not for lack of trying to find out. The ruthless, meticulous investigation had turned up all sorts of interesting things, from minor peccadilloes to bribery to extortion, on the parts of his nobles and officials. That had undoubtedly been useful, he thought. At least he'd hammered his nobility and bureaucrats so hard, the survivors were deeply dedicated to doing their jobs efficiently, and above all, honestly, in a fashion Taro hadn't seen in decades. Probably in generations, really. Yet all his efforts had failed to unearth a single clue as to how the group of four's plans had reached Karras. Gorgia had respectfully pointed out in his correspondence with Vicar Jason that his investigations had been personally assisted by Bishop Executor Turner and by Father Franklin Sumir, his intendant. For that matter, the full resources of the Inquisition here in Taro had been thrown into the task, and none of that effort had found even a trace of whoever had done the leaking. Perhaps, the king had suggested as diplomatically as possible, that indicated the security failure hadn't, in fact, occurred in Taro, after all? As far as Gorgia could tell, Felix Garber, the kingdom's archbishop in far distant Zion, supported his argument. Garber certainly had plenty of personal reasons to do so, at any rate. And officially, Chancellor Trenaire had cleared Gorgia himself of any wrongdoing. It had been a grudging clearance, however. Gorgia couldn't say that surprised him. For that matter, if he'd been in the Chancellor's cassock, he probably wouldn't have gone even that far. Because the damning truth was that the only royal court which could have leaked the information upon which Harald of Karras had acted so decisively was Gorgia's own. There simply hadn't been time for the information to reach Karras from anywhere else speedily enough. Given that, he supposed, and especially in light of how devastating the Carisian ambush off Armageddon Reef had been, it wasn't surprising it had taken Trenaire over a year to go even as far as he had. During that year, unfortunately, Gorgia and his entire kingdom had languished under Mother Church's disapproval. His shipyards had been deliberately and pointedly excluded from the church's original building program, for example. Which, given the fact that virtually the entire Royal Taroisian Navy had been destroyed, had made Gorgia even more unhappy than he might have been otherwise. He'd needed new ships, and almost as badly as he'd needed them, he'd needed access to the rivers of gold the church had poured into its new galley fleet. As a matter of fact, he'd needed the money even more badly, given the ruinous economic consequences his ill-advised decision to betray Karras had produced. At the time, everything had seemed extremely simple. The group of four had decreed Karras' destruction, and so Karras was going to be destroyed. The possibility that the church might fail of its purpose had never crossed his mind. And why should it have? No one outside of Harald of Karras, perhaps, could have seriously entertained such a preposterous notion for a moment. And with Karras destroyed, Taro would almost inevitably have absorbed a comfortable chunk of the one-time Carisian maritime monopoly. That rosy road to the future, unfortunately, had encountered a minor pothole when Karras declined to perish on schedule. Not only had the pestiferous kingdom been gauche enough to survive, but its navy had emerged even more powerful than it had ever been, and a plague of Carisian privateers had amused itself, eliminating all the rest of the world's merchant shipping for fun and profit. Taro's merchant marine had come in for special and loving attention, and the privateers' depredations had been followed up by coastal raids by Carisian marines under the cover of Imperial Carisian Navy galleons. And then, to make bad worse, Empress Charlian had ordered the official ICN blockade of Thole Bay. Rather than improving its position, the Taroisian merchant marine had become extinct, with catastrophic consequences for the kingdom's revenues. Even that wasn't the worst of it, however, because there was still a substantial flow of Carisian goods into Taro, although Gorgia had been careful to ensure that he had no official knowledge of that state of affairs. None of it was legal, of course. Carus had declared a blockade, and Mother Church, or at least the office of the Grand Inquisitor, had officially closed all of the world's ports to Carisian merchant ships. Obviously, therefore, no one could possibly be delivering the products of Carisian manufactories to a law-abiding kingdom like Taro. Unfortunately, Taro needed those products. No one in the kingdom could produce them in sufficient quantity or cheaply enough to meet the needs of Gorgia's subjects. And the last thing he needed was the resentment of subjects who couldn't provide their families the necessities of life because their king was worrying about pettifogging legal technicalities about closed ports and embargoed goods. And so he winked at the bustling clandestine commerce of the smugglers landing cargoes all along the southeastern coast of the Duchy of Trangieres.